The kaiju history buff director Hiroto Yokokawa is back this week, fresh off of his remake slash reimagining of The Great Buddha Arrival, to now set his sights as fictionalizing a documentary about the creation of the Gamera series. Will chronicling an ill-fated film be the recipe for a successful short classic? Find out along with us. This is Kaiju vs. History, Nezura 1964.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your chain-smoking movie executive, Miles, and joining me is a friend to no children, the radical rat himself, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing pretty well. This is one I've been very excited about and have held off over the years since it came out in 2020 because I knew we were going to do this podcast. And I was like, let me wait until it came up. And I did have to wait about 4.5 years. But here we are, finally get to watch and see this. I'm glad I did hold off because I think I had to buy a DVD when this movie came out. It is now on Tubi, Amazon Prime. There's like multiple places where you can watch this streaming. But we're here to talk about the 2020 film, Nezura 1964. Why isn't it called Nezura 1963, Miles?
I do not know.
I guess it was supposed to come out in 1964, but the almost the entirety of the film is about its production in 1963.
Well, because don't they even say it's supposed to come out in January?
Yeah.
Which would make it 1964?
Yes, yes. That's when the movie ends. It is funny.
it's very stupid.
Yeah,
but I guess before we get into everything, Patrick, I need you to tell me what's in a title.
Well, it is very interesting. It's interesting. This movie is not called Ninja Nizura, the Great Rat Swarm, because that is the name of the film that this is based on. You know, the English translation often being said to be Giant Horde Beast Nezura. Mm. And Nezura is the name that they've given these like giant rats. So, yeah, simply calling it Nezura 1964 is interesting. It is different than what the director did with The Great Buddha Arrival, which is just name it basically the same thing that the original was named and also make it a reimagining. This is a fictional documentary about the making of that film. Much more so than I thought, because I was like, who are these people? Like, why don't I recognize any of the names in this film, because I thought it was very much a documentary, but they're fictionalized versions of the actual directors and producers.
Probably just to cover themselves.
Yeah. So we have Nagata and Yukawa is, of course, eventual Gamera director Noriaka Yuasa, who's got great casting for the actor.
Yeah, and he looks like a turtle.
Right. So, yeah, not much else to say about this title, but I do just think Giant Horde Beast Nezura is a great title for a film.
It is, and I was always unclear if there was supposed to be like a giant monster at the end, because they even had a figure made.
So they had some concepts. I don't know if they made the suit or if that was in any of the filming. I feel like they would have put that in the promotional material if it had been made at the time. But it seemed like they had put out feelers for this film. They had done some actress photo stills with like the giant mouse doll that they made. And they showed off stills from the test footage that we saw in this movie. So they put this out in a magazine or a newspaper in like the fall of 1963. It's actually one of my favorite parts of the film is that they recreate some of those photos to a T. They recreate like the miniatures, and there's some parts that aren't very accurate, but that I love. And supposedly they shot a good amount of the film, but you know, as you know, we will talk about, the filming was shut down and it was canceled completely after some outrage. But yeah, this is
outrage. The health department shut them down, Patrick.
Well, I feel like, yeah, there's some very interesting stories behind the creation of this film. Maybe is why they went the fictionalized route, because I don't know if even the director was able to get, you know, because like everybody that made the original Gamera is dead by 2020. Hiroto Yokikawa has, as we said, has already proved himself as a kaiju historian in a lot of ways. So I think maybe fictionalizing some of these guys allowed him to take some liberties with them. Yeah, so let's talk about the movie. It is, you know, something that we've mentioned on the podcast before with our Gamera coverage is Gamera came about because another kaiju kind of adaptation failed for Daiei films, and that was Great Horde Beast Nezra. I enjoyed this movie for what it is. It does feel more like a documentary, though, than a film. You know,
yeah, it doesn't feel like there's a narrative. That doesn't feel like there are really any characters. Like, it does feel like we have been given like a series of scenes that have been supposited for the time. Like, here's the rough thing about tackling a movie or a short film. This is a short film. This movie is less than an hour long. Like Nezra 1964, because like you said, Hiroto certainly has a deep love for the history of Uega. Like, he is clearly, especially for these lost or unfinished films. Like, I hope he does. What was it called? King Kong in Tokyo, 1933. Was that called?
Yeah, there were a couple of the King Kong of Edo was before that. A couple of films that's like
the
one, that.
The lost King Kong. The King Kong that appeared in Edo. So like, I fully expect him to make a movie based on that and that awful, awful costume. Like it's very Yeti, but this is an interesting, I'm a big fan of mockumentaries. It's a very tried and true kind of found footage vehicle in horror, but a doing one for a fictional thing. I've seen one for like, I think there was one based on the idea that the moon landing was faked. That was pretty good. I struggle to remember the title. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these ones that are based off like real events like this can be a difficult when you don't have a narrative through thread. Like, this doesn't feel like it absolutely feels like the guy in charge who is like, oh yeah, I'm just shooting behind the scenes footage. You know, Americans are doing that now and it'll be good. And it certainly feels like someone like kind of saw that and then tried to recreate kind of just random footage, because there is no, like, it's called a biopic, but it's really not. It feels like a series of fictionalized vignettes about the making of this movie. And I know that sounds very, like, no, pedantic, but it really is.
I mean, I think you're completely right. It feels like it is want of a main character. The kind of the main character we get is based on Yonesaburo Tsukiji, who is the special effects director for this film that they're trying to make, as well as he would go on to do special effects creature design for Gamera. Because we get like his wife is a character in the film who gets like a couple lines and in scenes, and he's in most of the scenes, but you know, he gets like the one cool scene where he goes ham and starts destroying the miniature set after the film was canceled. Which looks great. It actually looks better in the behind the scenes features in the credits, the post credits,
yes,
because they have a slow motion shot of it. And it's like, oh, that was great. Why didn't they use the slow motion shot? But it seems like that could have been the climax of the film, was, you know, the film getting canceled. And, you know, all you need to do is have a few more scenes of his personal life or his struggles getting the film created in the first place, and then it would be a major blow when it's canceled. And then the happy resolution to this story would be they eventually go on to make Gamera. All these producers and creatives go on to make Gamera a year later, and it is very successful for their company. It's not as successful as Godzilla, but it is obviously, you know, what the company is probably best known for 60, 70 years later.
Yeah, and I mean, I also hate the way the film ends because it's almost like they don't want to say it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I could have done with another 10 minutes where they could have just done montages of, you know, Gamera kind of stuff coming together. And it was a cute little ending. But yeah, I could have used more. And, you know, we got maybe less and more disconnected things in The Great Buddha Arrival. But I think it worked better because it was a little bit more of an artistic vision. This movie is very well put together, as I think it shows a progression for the director of kind of skills. It is all in black and white, but they're probably the best part of the movie is the intro, where we get to see the suit that they made, the suitimation for Nezra. We get to see the miniature sets, and there's some interesting like pull-in shots. Basically, anytime they recreate some of the ancient, you know, 1960s style with modern equipment, it's always very interesting to look at. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed that we didn't get just a little bit more plot to make this into more of an actual feature as opposed to a documentary short. And yeah, it felt like also this should have been kind of comedic in a way. Because it's, you know, a comedy of errors. It's about a movie about a failure of a movie. And they just take themselves very seriously. You know, the entire thing is like a serious as a heart attack. So some odd tones here. But yeah, it is very interesting history wise. And I don't know if that was a big factor of your enjoyment. But would people that aren't familiar with the history of the creation of Gamera, do you think if you showed this to a random person, would this be interesting to them? It's hard for me to take myself out.
I don't think so, because, like you said, if they had done a little bit more with the connective tissue to make their kind of a main character and a through thread of the like attempted creation of this film, I think you might have had something. But because it really is kind of disjointed, the way it's presented is it unfortunately falls into the like for diehard fans only. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because I think the story is ripe for a very good movie. And I don't fault, and despite what I might score this film, I don't fault Hiroto Yokokawa at all. I mean, he is clearly extremely passionate about kaiju cinema and the history of kaiju cinema. And this actually won't be the last time he comes up on the podcast.
He should be the patron saint of kaiju versus history. You know, he's out there actively preserving the idea and the creation of these movies from now the 30s, the 60s. And he's going to have his next movie kind of be a celebration of a 90s actress. So,
well, technically his next movie was a short that based on an unfinished Dae movie.
His next kaiju movie, yes. He has another one.
Was that not a kaiju film?
I don't
know. Well, Beast Dogara?
It is kaiju, it's not Dae kaiju, I guess.
Okay.
It's like, you know, Yeti sized or...
Okay, so just human garbage for sure. No, but I'm super excited to watch Hoshi 35, which we will get to.
Yes.
Not too far from now. I haven't seen it. I've been saving it.
I know, me too. I'm so excited.
We all know that I love Megumi Odaka. So yeah. I think that was her first film in like 30 years. So I'm so excited to watch that.
All right, but we got to talk about Nezra though, Miles.
Yeah, so for Nezra, like to answer the question, no. I don't think if you are, like there was absolutely an opportunity to make a film that could entice people who don't even care about kaiju movies. If you made a movie about someone struggling to get a film made, like we have tons of those in the States, and not just films, but like stuff like The Producers and stuff like, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like we love movies about making movies. So I feel like if there had been a genuine narrative, like, and you could even have still gone the mockumentary route, but if you had a genuine narrative and, like you said, a protagonist to follow, so for someone to root for or to kind of involve ourselves with, to like make a bet on, that makes the whole story way more interesting. And especially if you end it with like, hey, this didn't work out, but this paved the way for another one of Japan's greatest monsters. And it takes a story that could be sad, but also it's like, no, this failure had to happen for history to happen.
I will say, I keep going back to Attack of the Giant Teacher, which we talked about a few weeks ago. That movie had such a micro budget, but it had such heart to it because the characters were very colorful and drawn out. How fun would it have been if, like, there was like a wacky cast of filmmakers and like technical people behind the scenes, and they all had elements that were like turtle-like. I don't know how else to say it, but like Gamera-like, that like helped inspire Gamera later on. So we have someone wearing like a turtleneck all the time, and someone else
right
is like really friendly with children, you know, just all kinds of like silly stuff like that. That is the kind of stuff that really got me into the Great Buddha of Arrival. And I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that here, a little bit more of that tongue in cheek, you know, references for people that enjoy them.
Yeah. And I mean, often he gets, you know, genre veterans in some of his stuff. And I didn't really clock as many.
Oh,
folks
yeah.
Here.
Well, Ben Furuya has a very short cameo in it. You know who plays the woman in charge of the like neighborhood protests, right?
No.
Another Gamera classic, Makake, who was one of the alien women from Gamera 1980.
She was
a professional wrestler as well. There's some Gamera actors and you know, people that are connected to the Gamera series in this, which is fun.
I didn't clock that was her. Yeah, because I know her much more from from Gamera Super Monster, but also being the professional wrestler.
And of course, what's the executive's name? But Yokijiro Hotaru plays Agata, the Dae CEO. So obviously that is
played the guy from Gamera, the detective, right?
Yes. Yeah. So he's been in so many independent kaiju movies that they just must know that he is willing to go to bat for any paycheck.
He's in Gamera 4, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in Raigo.
The Raigo movies. He's been in just so much. He's willing to do any kaiju. But like I said, I must have blinked and missed it. But Ben Furuya plays a father in the film.
I completely missed that one, too. I didn't clock him at all.
And the very short scenes that Mammoth Nezra is like shown in like dreams and like fake footage, recreated footage. He's motion captured by Akira Ohashi, who has done Gamera Sudamation in the past. So lots of connections to the Gamera series. I just feel like this should have been a Gamera movie without Gamera in it. The one thing we do get is Akiyama, who is based on Takayama, the modeler who made Gamera, at one point is making a little turtle creation in his workshop for like a local zoo, he said. Like, that's like the one kind of nod, I think, there. But there's a lot of fun little things. Did you like and they also made a statue of the kaiju Nezra. Did you like that design? It does feel like this should be a Gamera villain, you know, this bipedal rat creature with big old tusks.
Yeah, no, I liked the Mammoth Nezra design quite a lot.
And I think it was supposed to be in the film. I think the idea was the rats, the giant rats that were kind of like food for the gods sized creatures, like size of cars. Once they just keep eating each other and cannibalizing each other, the largest rat at the end becomes super mutated and grows into kaiju size and basically fights all the other little rats. Miles, can we talk about the rats in this movie? They are adorable.
They are so cute. And of course, because I was talking about the song last night, I just had Rats by Ghost popping in my head. Every single time they're like on the street, I'm like, rats. Oh, wow.
Rats indeed.
I thought they're adorable. And I was just like, man, I want a rat.
Well, there's so many white and like multicolored, like calico cow colored rats in here.
They look so doofy that I was like, how would this have worked in a movie? Because they just kind of look, they're so, like, kind of like mind their own business. So I'm just sniffing around.
So to be fair, I mean, these are all probably professional rats. These are probably farmed out from a company for this reproduction. But the original giant horde beast Nezra, they literally, and is depicted in this film, bought rats off people from the street for like a penny, you know, or the equivalent of
50 yen is what they said.
Yeah. So like maybe a nickel in that time, but not that much money. So they were using real street rats. And I've put a picture from the original production in the notes here. They look frightening. You know, they're all like black, brown rats with murder in their eyes. And the reason the production got shut down is so many of them chewed out of their containers, escaped into the local neighborhood. They were carrying fleas and probably all kinds of diseases and stuff. So yeah, the movie got shut down by the board of directors. It was a big scandal for DIA, and they did eliminate the rats that they had left. Supposedly some of the rats did eat one another. There was some cannibalism amongst the rats, if you believe the reporting, which, it, like I said, was supposed to happen in the film. So real goofed up. Yeah. And, you know, this was DIA trying to cash in on Godzilla, specifically King Kong versus Godzilla, which came out in 1962. And really is the reason we know Godzilla today, because there had not been another Godzilla movie for like 6 years before that. And the property was kind of, or like giant monster movies, they thought were dying out until they brought in King Kong to revitalize the Godzilla series. But that movie was crazy popular. This movie also seems to suggest that the inspiration also came from Alfred Hitchcock's 1963 film, The Birds, which is fun. It's a fun little bit of trivia. It has the DIA CEO watching that movie in a theater, and that's where he gets the idea for a giant horde of creatures attacking. I think I would have liked to have seen this actual film, Giant Beast Nezra, from DIA, especially if they had a kaiju rat at the end. You know, Miles, I'm happy it was canceled because it gave us Gamera, but I kind of wish we had gotten both.
I agree.
Do you have any favorite parts of this movie or anything you want to talk about before we get to rating it?
You know what? I want to give some love to the Nezra song.
Yeah, so that is something that did not exist, I think. It was made just for this film. And
yeah, it was like reminiscent of the Gamera March kind of.
Yeah.
I liked it. I loved that was kind of the credit situation as well. I thought that was super fun. It was very reminiscent of the time. So even if the song didn't exist, it felt like it. And I thought that was a lovely touch.
My favorite part of the movie was the credits, but not usually like how I joke about with bad kaiju movies, but this movie's credits has making of bits to it, and they're all in color, so you get to see the actors making the movie. But it's like so meta, because it's about is credits,
it's the making of a making,
the making of the making of a movie, and it just got so meta. Me watching it, I was like, yeah, but it shows them, like, you know, recording the song and putting the rats together and filming the scene, because they're actually filming a documentary within the movie itself as well. So I was like, my head hurts just looking at this. Yeah, let's get to writing. I thought this was fun. It's a fun little recreation on the origins of this failed film, the Gamera series, DIA Productions. It doesn't have the same feel as the last film by Hiroto Yokokawa. It doesn't have the same feel as The Great Buddha Arrival, but I'd say they're pretty comparable as far as enjoyable, but somehow has less plot, even though I think it's longer than The Great Buddha Arrival. So yeah, I'm giving a 6 out of 10 for personal enjoyment. It's good. What about you, Miles?
I am right there with you. This is certainly a like for diehards only kind of situation.
Yeah.
And I happen to be a diehard. So yeah, well,
here I am.
That said, I do think a lack of narrative really hurts this movie. And because of the way it's done, like, I can appreciate it, but it does take me out a lot. Because I honestly, I really want to root for Hiroto Yokokawa. Like, because dude's passionate, dude's talented. Like, I know this is a crowdfunded thing, and I don't think we talked about that as much. This movie's crowdfunded. This was not a traditionally, like, funded film that he was able to do. So, like, well, I wonder how much was stifled by the fact that it's a crowdfunded film.
3Y, the production company, we didn't talk too much about this time, but yeah, they do, like, both a crowdfunding. I think they got a investment from Kawa Corporation as well, maybe because, like, the rights to this kind of story were owned by them, so they had some money besides crowdfunding. But supposedly the budget was 3.5 million yen from their own website, so that's a self-reported budget. It's not a lot of money. Let me just translate this real quick. Like $24,000 maybe US,
which is fine, because I mean this seems like it was made for about that much, and honestly, like, with what they did, you can make that. I really do wish that this is an honorable effort, but I do feel it falls quite a little bit short of being a fully successful one. And, like, even as a diehard, like, it's very cool to see this, and I love that he made the effort, and what he made is not bad, but he took something that, like, it's not bad, but it could have been great. And that, I think that's the big thing, is, like, on its own, it's just fine. And like you, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10 for its personal enjoyment. Like, I the disjointed aspect of it did take me out quite a bit. And I do wish there was a main character to follow. And it really did have a this is the story of kind of feel, as opposed to, like, almost like they were adapting random footage that was shot back in the day.
What about the technical aspect? Where do you rate it there?
So I'm torn, because I do think the technical aspect of it is very good. The acting is excellent. I think everyone does a good job. It's well shot. I love that it's in black and white. It has a great style. It feels like they accurately create these sets for making a kaiju film. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that that is really kind of killed by the fact that the pacing is weird. It kind of just ends. There is no real narrative. Ooh. And that hurts the movie a lot for me. But I can't take away from all these other aspects. So I'm gonna go for a 7 out of 10. I do think the technical aspects are very high for this movie.
Yeah, I'm the same with you. It is probably more well done and put together than his previous film, because it does have a very strong cast. The special effects were very good. And, you know, I just think the script, yeah, maybe a bit too simple. You know, if we had gone full circle and maybe included some more of the creation of Gamera after this, show that team failing, but then show them succeeding a little bit as kind of the crescendo of the film, I can understand why it wasn't super feasible, and maybe they didn't have the rights to do that, but right. I would have appreciated that to bring it up a little bit. So I'm giving a 7 out of 10 as well, but I'm giving this very high marks for its importance as a kaiju film. And, you know, if you throw this in to your rotation of watching Gamera movies, I think this does give you an appreciation for the history of the Showa era Gamera films, because this is a good representation of this was a small team of filmmakers, and it was a first time project for them. Like, they had not done, I think, special effects kind of movies like this before. Obviously, the people that were involved in it worked on other special effects for other studios, but this is like the first time DAE was putting this together. So this is the movie. I mean, this movie is what this podcast is all about, shedding light on our favorite kaiju creations, showing and recreating the methods that they made to make those films, using actual physical miniatures in this film was really cool. Actually getting rats to run around and recreate those photos, I love that. But yeah, felt more like a short feature than a full movie. And I wanted a full movie out of this. So I want that from a Hoshi 35. I'm going to be very disappointed if it's not more of a full length thing. So I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 still. I do think it could have been much better if we had just gotten a little bit more Gamera, a little bit more plot. What about you, Miles?
So I'm struggling here, because I agree with a lot of what you said. I think it's awesome that someone decided to tell this story. And the story, I think needed to be told. It's a very important part of the history of one of Japan's other great monsters. And I think it certainly needs to be lauded for that. It does have an important place in the fact that it at least attempts. The fact that it's so clumsy in how it tells that story, I think, kind of affects it larger for me personally, and certainly affects how I would suggest, or who I would suggest watching this. Because again, this is a for diehards. Like, I don't even know if I would suggest it to some of my like casual kaiju friends. Like, I think I would suggest it to my people that love Gamera or that are really into film history. And even then, because there's no through narrative, it's tough. So I'm actually a lot harsher on this than you. I'm going back to my 6 out of 10. I think this is not without importance. I think it is very good, and I think it does have a place in Kaiju Ega. But I think that does come with an asterisk. I think this is a tougher one to kind of put, because the passion is there. It's the right story to tell. It's just, I don't think it's told the way it needs to be told.
Yeah.
Specifically.
I understand. I'm close to you, but I still feel like the importance of this kind of outweighs the fact that I just didn't like it as much as this.
I fully get that.
I guess I gave the previous one also a similar score, but that puts you at a 6.3 and me at a 7 out of 10. Which, averaging them together, we are going to just round up and give this a podcast final at a 7 out of 10. Last week was a round down, this week a round up, I believe. But yeah, not a great film, but I think one that, like I said, if you're a Gamera fan, give this a watch. I could suggest this to a lot of people just because it is so short. You know, you're not killing yourself with a longer narrative if you don't like it. And as I said at the top, it's on Tubi. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on a lot of places where you can watch this basically for free. So that's exciting in and of itself. You don't have to buy like a $20 DVD to watch this. So yeah, 7 out of 10 for Nezra 1964. I was hoping this was going to be a great one. And like I said, we still have Hoshi 35 to check out. 35 years since
they're excited to check out
the actress's previous role. I think that's what the 35 is.
30 years. It was celebrating her 35th year as an actress.
Oh,
but I think okay. It was 30 years since she'd actually acted.
Yeah, that's going to do it for us. Let's talk on email, listeners. If you want to email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com, we'll read your questions and things on the air. Season 8 is going to be a long one. We have a lot of movies and projects to get to, so feel free to talk about things that came out in the last 5 years you're excited for us to get to. You can find us on social media at Kaiju Versus History on Letterboxd. If you search Kaiju Versus History, our account, you can see our past reviews and upcoming future projects we're going to look at. And the Cosmic Crit Discord channel, Kaiju Versus History, you can find us by searching Cosmic Crit on Discord and talk to us about new movies and things that are just coming out. Miles, thank you so much. What are we doing next week?
So thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you next time when we take a film break and look at a Netflix series that continues the Pacific Rim world once more, this time in an animated universe. That's right. Tune in next time for History Versus Pacific Rim: The Black.
Bump, bump, bump.